love that analogy. And there really are some ugly unintended consequences, but I think those sometimes get buried because it's so exciting to see these advancements and what's possible. And this is certainly a situation where people don't have to have all the aggravation that they might have. Because let's be honest, relationships do take work.
Yes, they do.
And so as I'm thinking about everything you're saying, I've got to believe that could have a downside for relationships. Because if you're looking at it and you're saying, wow, my spouse is always criticizing me or doesn't really understand me, and then here's your chatbot, ChatGPT, who gets it right all the time.
Yes, and that's very appealing. And especially in a world where, you know, people don't want to have conflict, you know, which is a part, as you said, relationships can be hard. Coworkers can be hard. It's not easy being alive and being out in the world. It's very easy to talk to a machine that likes you for who you are and never criticizes you or never gives you any feedback that doesn't help your self-worth. And that's not what life is about. But it could put people in their own bubbles, and the only bubble they want to live in is where they're the best at everything because that's what their chatbot is telling them.
Right. And I mean, I see both sides of it, as you said. For those people who really don't have any family, they're in assisted living, this could really help them because if you're not talking to people, you're going to see some of that cognitive decline set in because loneliness does bring about some health concerns.
It certainly does. And it's better than, you know, again, to use people who are living alone or in assisted living. If they're not seeing other people within the housing environment, maybe they're just watching TV. And so there's no interaction, period.
Right.
But if you are at least interacting and having a discussion with a chatbot, and again, maybe about the Super Bowl or maybe about your favorite music or about a memory you had, because they remember your memories. If you've talked about the memories with them in the past, they'll say, oh, well, yeah, didn't you used to play track in high school? Or,
oh,
you know,
wow.
When you start telling it things, it will remember and it can bring those things back. And if they're good memories, it can refresh those, certainly as you get older. Again, in those situations, an excellent, excellent form of interaction that might not otherwise take place.
You know, and what's so interesting about that is you think about those stories of people wanting to marry their chatbot or spending a lot of money to have that constant companionship. Well, as AI becomes more human-like, you have to wonder if that's going to distort the reality for people.
AI is already distorting our reality. I mean, things like deep fakes and images that are generated for the media that aren't real.
Right.
And we have some examples here in the museum of how those were used during the fires in LA a few weeks ago and how they were used during Hurricane Helene back in the fall. And AI is already distorting that kind of visual reality. When it starts distorting our personal reality, when we start relying on that to, you know, give us our encouragement or our ego boosts, we're in a downhill slope. And that's why in this exhibit we want people to think, is AI going to be good for us or is it going to be bad for us? And if we all start thinking about it, then we can at least address the issue. Because if we try and ignore it, it's not going to get better, but it's not going away.
Right. So it's having that conversation about how do we find that happy balance where we can take advantage of the benefits, mm-hmm. but not lose sight of our personal reality.
Right. And hopefully people who come here will get inspired to have that conversation. And maybe they don't know anything about technology, but maybe they can understand this is a thing that's happening in our lives right now, and we need to at least be aware of it. You know, be aware and perhaps wary of its potential and its perils.
There's been a lot of talk recently about how AI might help make some really big medical advancements.
Right.
What can you share with us about that?
One of the things, there are several things. One of the first is in creating drug treatment plans. AIs can scan chemicals and examine possible interactions millions of times faster than any human lab or human staffed lab can do it. And that's already happening. Already drugs are being produced that appear to have benefits that would never have been discovered, at least not for years, if just humans were going bit by bit by bit. Because we can examine these millions of bits of data. On the other hand, things like medical diagnosis, reading radiology reports, they can scan radiology reports in such minute detail that AIs generally perform better than radiologists at looking at x-rays and other medical images, because they can look at the pixel level. Humans can, you know, try and find a spot on a lung or something. If they can't see that it's too shaded or maybe they might miss it, the AI is looking at it in such detail, say, you might want to check this. So in diagnosis and treatment and development of drug treatments, you know, AI will certainly push the limits and be very, very beneficial for the medical community.
One of the conversations that often comes up is, what is AI going to mean in terms of our workforce? People get very concerned that they're going to be eliminated because of the reasons that you were just talking about, the highly effective nature of AI.
Right. The thing that we tell people is that AI might not take your job, but someone who is using AI probably will. So at this stage of the game, people need to be applying AI to their jobs in ways that help increase their efficiency, help them better do their jobs, and in a competitive environment, maybe do better than their competitor. That said, there are certainly a lot of jobs that AI can do better and faster than people can. And it's very simple kinds of things, customer service, some accounting things, back office things. The thing that's most disconcerting now is that in the last few months, AI has gotten very good at doing things like creating videos. And it's always been very good at creating images and creating text, but with ChatGPT coming forward, you have AI that can write marketing plans. You have AI that can write radio scripts. You have AI that can write movie scripts. You even have AI that can generate a filmed image of what this script should look like on the screen. So for years, as we were growing up, and if you look at the history of AI movies, it was always the robots were going to replace, you know, laborers and people who worked in factories. Now it's coming for artists and the executive class. Those people have to start thinking, is this going to take my job?
And how can I utilize the technology and highlight that human connection? Humans are wired for connection, but to your point, we have to ask the questions, because if we don't, I think it would be very easy to get swept up in all of it, and before we know it, it's that downward spiral.
And that's what we want people to do after they've been here, is start asking those questions. Again, they might not know anything about AI when they walk through the door, but we want them to at least have gone through and said, okay, I get it, I get what's happening. I might not understand the math. Truth be told, nobody understands the math. But how it's generating those things is not important. The fact that it does, and the fact that it's going to have an effect on you, some way, somehow, is something you have to be aware of and you have to face.